Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight, the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard, right over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Come over there, check it out, man. It's just a cool hangout over there. It's a really beautiful facility they have. If you haven't been by, it's a top-notch recording studio attached to a great bar. So if you have a band or you are a solo artist, you can come in to the studio and you can cut some live tracks in front of an audience. The audience is on the other side of the glass in the bar setting. And so even if you're a fan, you can come in and watch one of your favorite bands and have a cold adult beverage there and hang out. It's just a real neat place. So get involved, check them out. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find everything else at GaslightSTL.com and full listing of events coming up there. So always got a lot of really cool people coming through, national acts as well as all your favorite locals. So get involved and check that out. So also sponsoring this episode is Music Record Shop. They're back, just moved over to a new location on Washington Ave over by right next door to KDHX. So go check them out down there on Washington Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, live in stores, and next one is October 29th. You can come in and see Lucas Jack live in store at Music Record Shop. I follow them online, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, we're Dear Genre, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
Boom.
I like the way you move. I like the way you groove. I see someone like you in my bedroom. I like the way you touch. Sometimes I like it way too much.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out tonight with Dear Genre in a Denny's.
In a Denny's.
Yeah.
How are you, Shane?
Hey, good, man. How are you guys?
We're really doing good.
Yeah. You guys want to introduce yourselves for those listening?
Yes. I am Andre Cataldo, and I sing and play guitar.
I'm Ray Ayers, and I play drums.
Yeah, Ray was on a while back. I don't know. I can't remember what episode that was, but you sat in with the Midnight Reveille one. And
yep.
So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Fun times.
So me and Ray go back a little bit, but yep. This is the first time me and Andre are meeting and getting to talk here before turn the mic on. But this is cool. I'm excited to... A lot of these kind of been going this way lately. I've been getting a lot more, people interested in being on the show or branching out to bands that I'm not familiar with and getting to know them better and stuff. So, so that's the case tonight. I don't really know a lot about Dear Genre, but I'm excited to learn. So
he's gonna learn.
Yeah,
you're gonna learn, man.
But so this group. I was doing a little bit of homework, and I guess the first record came out like 2010 or something.
2010, yeah.
So you guys have been around a little while as the name.
We have been, yeah. It was basically the name is the only thing that's really been around that entire time. 2010 was I was a junior in high school. I was just really unhappy with young and angsty and hated high school life. Went for the wrong high school anyways, but music kind of turned into my outlet that I released all of my emotions and feelings into.
Sure.
I just kind of came up with the name on a whim. I never really meant it to stick or never really meant to take it seriously, but what, 6.5 years later?
Right.
The name's still being thrown around. So.
Sure. That's what the whole... Foo Fighter story, right? Dave Grohl, like he said something like, he threw out the name Foo Fighters when early on, and then like he's like, if I knew I was still gonna be called go by Foo Fighters this many years later, I would have thought of a better name.
Right, right. So, you can't think of them any other way than the
right,
Foo.
Exactly.
They are the Foo,
Yeah. But I just think it's funny. I mean, like. A name's a name. I mean, some of them have a lot of meaning. Some of them are just simple words, and you run with it, and it's something you identify as. But there's no right or wrong. I mean, naming this show, there's no real meaning to Rock Paper Podcast. It was just kind of that obviously play on Rock Paper Scissors. But we had a whole list of them, and our friends and fans said this is the one they thought was most fun or whatever. And
cool.
We went with it. So yeah, there it is. So.
Well, it's worked.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Worked for
again,
you,
yeah, something you sell it and you're like, hey, here it is. This is what the name is, and
that's right.
We're gonna go with it. So,
if you build it, they'll come, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had more of an interesting story as to how I came across the name.
It's a cool name. I really like it. Dear Genre, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. So, not to get confused with the blockbuster hit Dear John.
Yeah.
I know we're huge Channing Tatum fans, but the name was already taken, so I couldn't Dear John it, so
right.
This was the next best.
Yeah. So you guys were telling me that you know this is now a two-piece.
Yep.
Yeah, that's recently. Yeah.
But you guys used to be originally or previously a larger band and different members and things. So how do we get to being a duo now?
Oh wow. Whale. I just kind of started as a recording project in 2010, so it was just me doing You Put the Fear in Atmosphere with my good buddy, Ross Christopher, on the board and the production credits. And straight out of high school, it turned into a four-piece, just because I didn't really have any way to bring the rock sound to kind of realize it. So I just kind of ended up finding a bunch of random guys via social media that ended up kind of being my best friends and partner in crime. So I think they played with me from 2011 to mid-2013. And then, you know, we were always playing my original tunes from that first record, and then I decided I wanted to write a little bit more, and didn't really want to share those responsibilities, and so they chose to kind of go their own separate ways.
Sure.
When I decided I wanted to release something else, so
right,
you know,
I know you guys are friendly with them too, but I sat with Bruiser Queen a while back and Steve's Hot Dogs.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah, and yeah. We got to talking, but I didn't realize that they used to be a four piece and then they went down to a two piece. You know, so like
really,
that's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, so I guess have that in common.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
But yeah, they I think a lot of what I remember for that story was a lot of it came out of a necessity almost, but touring, you know, it was like, sure, it was much easier for the two of them to jump in the car and go on the road and so, but yeah, I mean, it's working, you know, they're doing well for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you guys played a couple of shows together or something.
Yeah, we played recently at Heavy Anchor, what, about 2 months ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually went with them up to Springfield, Illinois, and played up there at the Social.
It's called Bar None, I think.
Bar None, that's right.
Bar Social None or something. Yeah, Social Rooms here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bar None. That was a pretty cool show. That's fun.
Yeah.
We went down on like this apocalyptic night.
Yeah,
the night we left was
stormed really, really bad, and it actually flooded almost all of downtown Springfield.
Hmm.
And so there were streets that were like the main streets in Springfield were closed when we got there. So this is very interesting. Yeah, we drove all the way through the storm on the way there. That was pretty.
I thought I was gonna die.
Yeah.
He was fine, but I was totally freaking out.
Yeah,
calling my mom. She wouldn't answer. She was ashamed. Yeah, we thought we weren't going to play the show.
Yeah,
it was so bad.
Yeah,
and then
we were surprised that there were actually people that showed up. There was actually a pretty good crowd. So
yeah, nice.
But more importantly, I would like to give a shout out to that pizza place.
Oh my god!
Across the street, there's like a mom and pop pizza place right across the street from Bar None in Springfield, Illinois. What an experience! They're like full blown Italians, you know, and like yelling at each other.
They were having a pretty bad night, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the delivery service was one thing that was pretty screwed up because of all the flooding.
Oh, sure.
But then, I mean, it took us like, I don't know, we got there like, we arrived, I don't know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes before we had to be there at the place to load in. And our food wasn't even done.
Mm.
Like, and there was like maybe five people in there.
Yeah, we were done setting up our stage and ready to play by the time the food was ready.
Yeah.
And then I just ate this raking. I like garlic. I'm like a huge garlic, and I think I got garlic and mushrooms.
Yeah.
On pizza. And he drove down, so he had to deal with. I brought the pizza back home. And just left it in his car.
Forgot it in my car.
And so, his wife was just.
So the next day was pretty rough.
She was not happy that he was in this project for a while. I still got to send her like a I'm sorry card.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me borrow your husband and sorry about your car.
Destroyed the car.
Destroyed it. It smelled like nasty, angry pizza.
Yeah.
But yeah, there. We've gotten really close with Bruiser Queen.
Yeah.
Morgan and Jason are, obviously, as we all know, extremely talented.
Yeah, amazing.
They just, they have such a style about them. Such a sound about them.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched them rock the show at Lufest over the summer. They sounded really good there, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just fun to see. Obviously, you know, there was like, I think seven local acts on this year's Lufest.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So good to see.
It was nice to see that they were getting the opportunity for a bigger show like that.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Big crowds out there, so it was nice to see.
We were all just talking about that thing about Jason.
Yeah.
Was he on Cherokee Street, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was supporting Morgan's solo show, wasn't he?
I think that's what it was.
And and he got him and a friend got jumped.
Yeah, something uh, somebody pulled a gun on them and beat them up and
pistol whipped them.
I don't know. And then they wound up in a hospital with some stitches and
yeah.
So they're fine now, but yeah, it's scary. You know, reading his story and then
oh, the RFT story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's definitely. You gotta be careful out there. I mean, I hope it. We were talking a little bit, you know, hoping it doesn't affect people coming out to these shows and things. But you know, you gotta be aware everywhere you are. You know, it's,
yep.
I mean, this could happen anywhere. I mean, it doesn't. It just happened on Cherokee, but it could be anywhere.
Especially this close to the Foo Bar thing we were talking about.
Yeah,
that guy shot out front of the Foo Bar, and then this following it. I guess that's just a statement as to how good they are. You
yeah.
know? He's like, they can't get any better.
Yeah.
You gotta pistol whip them and take their money.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so
welcome.
Much. It's a good looking shake,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. Ray got a chocolate shake.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Looks pretty awesome. Yeah, shout out to Denny's.
Shout out to Denny's, yeah.
Yeah, they're hooking us up here, taking care of us.
Thank you, Annie.
You're very welcome.
You're on air.
Excuse me. I'm still trying to get over this allergy nonsense.
Oh, it's terrible this time of year, isn't it?
So Dear Genre put out, we were talking about, you know, kind of getting started, but now you guys dropped a new record in April.
Yes.
2016 here, and called Flower Puns.
Flower Puns. That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
So where? How? Why? Why Flower Puns? Where does this come from?
That's a great question. I don't remember. I think I tried to give somebody flowers, and they didn't want them. So I think I like gave them to my mom or something, and then after she didn't want them, she didn't want them either. So I think you know, they were beautiful, like white roses or something, and they were just sitting in my room dead for so long, and I didn't know what to do with them. So, I decided to take a picture of them in like a bucket with the band name on it, and I thought the photo turned out really cool, but I didn't have anything to do with it. So I wrote an album to use that as a. It's really backwards. I wrote an album to support a photo.
Okay.
And just shows how. How backwards I'm thinking, but I just thought Flower Puns was really fitting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It just felt right.
That's I do find that interesting, and like, you know, you get to talking to enough of these people, and you talk about how, you know, a song come about or whatever it is, and it's like, there is no right or wrong way. Everybody's got, you know,
exactly.
Some of it starts with a riff, and they go write lyrics to it. Some of it, they write all the lyrics and come up with the music, and sometimes somebody takes a picture of some flowers and writes the whole record.
Yeah, that's the first time I've actually told anybody that, so that's cool. Yeah. I'm so glad I can disclose this type of thing into a Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, but, exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive. You're only. Yeah. But you know, speaking of that collaboration type thing, this is the first time that we're kind of touching that. You know, unfortunately, I haven't made that many musical friends because I've kind of tried to keep it all in house, the writing for Dear Genre, and it's just my how it just makes me feel better. It's how I cope. So
yeah.
I think I'm naturally kind of a little bit hands off with other people when it comes to Dear Genre. But Ray and I have really clicked this year. We've only been playing together as a two piece for what, like. Under 6 months, and we're done trying new lineups. I think this is the one for us, especially now at this stage, where some of the songs are coming in from older records, and then some of the songs we haven't even played yet live. So it seems we have better energy as a two piece than the band has ever had, and. In any other form or facet in the past, so
I know that's what you've been told actually by a couple people that have seen us play, and then that have seen you play before with your four piece as well. So
I think you're so damn good looking.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's awesome, man. I've really enjoyed basically like starting, I mean, starting this whole creative process, because just coming on and playing with Andre, his, I mean, we came on, we started playing, I don't know, like I learned 5 or 6 songs like right away. I mean, we played.
We started slow.
We played, well, we had a show like the first week we played together.
Oh, we didn't start slow, you're
no,
right.
No, you're whoa. Right. So we like, he's like, you know, I came over, we learned a couple songs. And then he's like, yeah, we got a show in like 2 days. Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, never passed it by him. I think that was my way of welcoming him. I was like, if he sticks after I tell him that we have a show, he's solid.
Right. But I was like, yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, I learned the songs in like about a week, and we went out and played in Columbia, Missouri. And it was a lot of fun. I had a blast. Nice. So, instead of having all that, I don't know, as a performer, a musician, whatever you want to say, you still, I mean, obviously you still get those nerves before a show, but there's like the good kind of nerves and there's the bad kind of nerves, you know. And that first show, it was all good. You know, it was like the stuff where obviously I wanted to do my best and, you know, play everything right, but at the same time I didn't feel like if I messed up it was a bad, you know, it's gonna end everything. I knew I could hold everything together, so I don't know, from that point forward I just felt like that really helped us click.
Sure.
And then we have, you know, we'll get together either the week of a show or actually we got together last week and a couple times here there, and we're
just keep it fresh.
Yeah, keep it fresh and learning some new stuff.
Yeah.
And I like that we kind of have, even from the albums, the Dear Genre albums, we kind of have our own little sound too off of that together. So I think that's pretty cool.
Right. So are you able now bringing your own taste to it a little bit, or your own little flair to the song?
Honestly, that's what's Andre's been very accommodating for that, I think. As much as he said that he likes his, you know, he wants to control creatively. At the same time, I mean, he's basically, you know, he's like, he told me like the first, I don't know, first or second practice, like, these songs are yours too. Do what you want to do with them, you know?
Yeah.
Within, you know, as long as they sound good. So,
very cool.
So that's been, to me, that's, I mean, obviously as a creative person myself, I want to hear that, you know?
Right.
I mean, if, obviously I would respect his songs and play them, you know, the way that they need to be played or whatever, but to hear that is, frees me up to do kind of what I want to do with them, so.
Right. It's all about respect and purpose.
Right,
though.
Yeah.
You know, Ray's always respected the songs as songs, you know, he's realized that they existed before he was on this, and he also has the you know, the best interest of the song in mind throughout. So I felt it was very easy to not only allow him to feel some sort of ownership, but to take him and run with him, because, you know, very, I don't know what it was. It was just very early on. We just kind of knew, you know, in Columbia, Missouri, that we, you know, after that first show, we knew that we were going to be playing together for a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really know why, but it's freed us up to, you know, we feel like this creatively, the sky's the limit, you know.
Yeah.
But since we played together, I would say, don't you? The live band is totally different than the studio band.
Absolutely,
they're like two separate entities almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Some of that's I don't know. It's kind of fun to, again, you know, talking about you get to know so many different bands and things. And there's some of them that obviously go and make a record that sounds exactly like the live show,
right,
and then
right.
they go, they try to, you know, recreate it every night on stage. And then you got bands that, like, I mean, I think that's kind of why everybody wants to go see, like, a group like Dave Matthews or Fish or whatever, because they jam in these songs and, like, and there's a lot of, like, improv that
something
happens.
Something else can happen.
Yeah, so it's that. Like, so, I mean, even though it might be somewhat similar to the time before or
right.
or the record or whatever, but there's always something kind of unique about the live shows.
Yeah.
And, like, so, I don't know, I think that's always kind of fun, too, like, to, you never know what you're going to get. So
yeah, that's kind of what we're. That's exactly what we're shooting for. Like we talked about that, how we want it to be. Obviously, you want to. I mean, you want to each live show. You want it to be great, but at the same time, you want it to be a unique experience for the people there. And like we want to get to a place where we don't even have a set list, and we're just like, let's play this song. This mm-hmm. feels right,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. go off of how the crowd is reacting to
yeah.
What you're playing that night. Because I think that that can help a lot too. You know, I can as far as getting new fans or keeping fans. You know, I think that can help.
I saw Amos Lee the other night.
Yeah,
at the
that was awesome.
Yeah,
I was there.
You
awesome
there?
Show.
You
yeah.
both were there.
Yeah.
What?
But, it was one of my favorite parts of the show is where he says, "You guys want to play Colors?
Yeah.
Let's play Colors." And he's like, "Yeah, we haven't played this on tour yet, but we're gonna do it tonight." And like, it was just cool that like the band picked up right away. Like, okay, let's do this. And so it wasn't. You could tell like it wasn't really rehearsed, but they nailed it. And like,
yeah,
it just,
exactly.
It's just fun that they, you can pull out something like that and nail it and. You don't have to have it on the set list to have it prepared. And
yeah, and that makes you feel like more included. In it feels like you were a part of something greater than just that night. Yeah. You know, like they created something spontaneously, and that will never be done again. They might play that song again, or they might, you know, but that moment and that energy will never be recreated.
Sure.
And that's really, I think, the art part about it. You know,
definitely.
That's what makes live shows. That's what separates, I think, live shows from just sitting at home or watching, like, listening to the CD or watching a live performance, or DVD or whatever.
Right.
Actually being in the same room with an artist or whatever.
Sure.
I think that's what can separate that from the other things like that. So.
Well, you guys just played Foam.
We did.
A week ago or 2 weeks ago?
I don't remember when that was.
We're really bad with dates. Like, we both have early onset
Parkinson's. That was, when was that?
Take it away.
Was that the 1st of October? Last of September.
Wasn't too long ago. Yeah, you guys played over there, with Link.
Yeah,
and
a guy named
Joe Link.
Link, a new St. Louis artist. This guy's really good, man. He's a solo artist. He's an acoustic artist, but it's more like he's a more pop. He's like a pop group versus a singer songwriter, and he plays with like backtracks occasionally. You know, he's got some really really catchy stuff. And the fact that it wasn't, you almost overflowed your shake there, man. Oof! I wish they could see that. But anyways, I've gotten to know Joe Link really well over the past few weeks. We've been like coffee mates, you know. Are we gonna get sued by Coffee Mate?
Yes.
If I say Coffee Mates, you know, like.
Well, just don't say trademark after it. You're good.
Okay. All right. So we've been coffee mates, plural, for the last few weeks, and you know, we really enjoy talking about where we're gonna go from here, ideas, songwriting. Anything and everything. So, if you're a St. Louis local, I strongly encourage you to hunt down Joe Link and see him play live.
Yeah.
It's the biggest small city you'll live in, you know. And we've got so many great local acts, and you know, some that we've never heard of still. It's like the city that just keeps on giving. You know.
So. But yeah, we were talking about the record, the new record, Flower Puns, and you guys made a official music video for Move.
Yes, we did.
I was watching it. Some pretty wild stuff in there.
Oh, thanks, man.
Did you guys do that yourself, or do you have somebody help you with that?
Yeah. Well, honestly, if you want the truth, I did it in my parents' basement.
Yeah?
I don't know. I think it was one of those nights I just had, like, way too much coffee and, you know, stimulants, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to sleep for the next 72 hours. So I took about 72 hours and went down to a basement with a fog machine. No, excuse me, with, a handful of electric cigarettes because I didn't have a fog machine, and some light packs and, like, a guitar and... just tried to put something together that was a little bit, you know, kind of a throwback. I don't know. I'm really heavy into the British Invasion. You know, all the English sounds.
Yeah.
Primarily the Syd Barretts and the, you know.
Well, you are wearing your Pink Floyd shirt.
I guess so. I didn't even.
Yeah.
Post it. But Yeah, that English sound really has appealed to me as I've gotten older. So it was kind of like a hands down single for the record. That move and kind of a new direction, you know, kind of trying to write from a mature point of view and try and experiment with some stuff I'm not quite comfortable with or, you know, but I think the song turned out okay.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I don't know about the music video. There's a little too much of, somebody said there's a little bit too much knees in there. I was like talking to this old guy and he's like, I love the video, but there's too many knees.
Well, in my opinion, the knees make it.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching it, and I was like, man, I just wish there were more knees. And then there are, and I was like,
and
yes.
There are, and then you're like, that's the one.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. It. More knees, the better.
More knees, the better.
That's what I say. I think our next video just need to be knees.
Knees.
Like,
that's
a line, hot, a line of people standing and just their knees.
That's really sensual.
Yeah. I think it's important for America right
the
now.
The bees' knees.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been doing... you know, faces and guitars and drums.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, why not?
Who's out there doing knees?
Yeah,
you know?
Nobody. We're the pioneers.
Yeah.
You hear that? We're coming for your knees. Get your joints ready. Knee joints.
I like this idea.
But yeah, no, I thought it turned out real nice. It does. I mean, it wasn't, you know, putting you down at all, but this, it felt like a DIY kind of a video, and like, okay. And it's just nice to see that people are able to do cool stuff like that. You know, we have the technology now to
right.
to do that kind of stuff, and
do
it's
it
like
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it turned out cool, man. Like, I like you know, just all the different shots you had, all the keyboard and the smoke and all that, and like, and just it all that turned out very cool, I thought. And you know, it's just nice to, like I said, it's, there's even on your own cell phones, you know, people are making making music videos and stuff. It's just like, it's crazy what we have the technology right at our fingertips to do this kind of stuff, where it used to, you know, take a whole crew and things, and now we're
doing it
in your parents' basement.
In your parents' basement. Yep.
So.
Oh man, it's almost like a lot of responsibility. You got all that technology at your fingertips, and you gotta make something great out of it.
Because
nobody's stopping to take a breath. You know, things are only getting bigger, faster, and looking better and sounding better. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, that video, what, YouTube, you guys have a YouTube channel, right?
Yes, we do.
That can be up
we
there.
Do.
Go check that out. I'm sure I'll link it on the website and stuff too.
Thanks, man.
Keep it simple, but yeah, of course
that.
You can find it on YouTube, and you can grab a copy of Flower Puns on iTunes or CD Baby, if you prefer physical copies, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, do we have? We don't have physical.
Not a flower puns.
No, not. Yeah, that's right. Not a flower puns.
Digital only.
We just. Yeah. I don't know why. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Since it was all based around a photo, it would be fitting to print it. But people's idea of buying music is so different these days. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Less and less they're wanting the tangible stuff, unless it's you know, unless it's a vinyl,
right.
Which is totally understandable, but.
That's another cost, though.
That's another story, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd like to. Please, yeah. I'll take some coffee.
You're good.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I
appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it is neat to see that vinyl is making as much of a comeback as it is, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everybody's. I guess it helps. More and more people selling them and stuff brings the cost down for everybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember what the statistics were, but it was something like, you know, there's more vinyl records sold in 2015 than, you know, since the 80s or whatever.
Right,
it was,
right.
You know, so
it's coming back, dude.
Yeah,
I know the few bands that we've played with recently, but they've all had digital copies in vinyl. That's it. Mm-hmm. They don't have disc at all. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
but
and
they do have
cassettes.
Yeah.
They have cassettes too.
Cassette, yeah.
Oh, who was it?
I don't remember now.
Was it The Head?
It might have been.
Anyways, we've seen a lot of. I have a little good old piece of inkage of cassette tapes. It's. Anyways, it's just. It's nice to see the throwbacks.
Sure.
People are taking it seriously though too. It's not like, you know, I think it was like when it started, the vinyl and the tapes were like kind of a one off, like, oh, our dads will think this is funny. You know, and then people, you know, it wasn't a joke anymore. So which is great, you know, going back to the tangible physical art, like you can hang it on a wall and you can have it forever, and you know, whereas digital's that isn't so, and it's not as pretty, and so.
But yeah, I think it is nice. And the other perk of you know, doing vinyl is a lot of them come with those download cards where you don't have to deal with you know, having to kind of convert it or buy it twice or whatever it is. Right. It's nice that nice feature. So the same thing with tape. I think a lot of them are, or like, you can get a, you know, go on a, get a free download code on the website or whatever it is.
Yeah. And,
but yeah, those are, it's nice. I try to purchase Mitch as vinyl as I can whenever.
Are you vinyl?
Yeah, I try to. I consider myself an enthusiast.
Sure.
So yeah, I try to purchase whatever I can on vinyl when available. So, but I'm definitely physical copies. I mean, I buy a lot of CDs and just very little on iTunes.
Yep.
Just not for me.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, when I can, again, if you can buy a vinyl record for whatever, $20, and or a CD for $10, and it's like,
yeah,
I'd much rather have the record for $20 and and whatever it is, you know. I'm just, but it's just nice to have that artwork and everything,
the tangible,
else, the liner notes and all the other, you know, it's just like all
Hopefully that continues and more people get into that. I mean, I know it's already a growing business. Like a regrowing business, but hopefully that continues.
Definitely.
It's really difficult to actually sell music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. We're, I mean, since the genesis of Dear Genre, that's been a, I don't know if you want to call it an issue, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just, I think that's an issue for everybody.
I think.
I mean, you know, you look at even, I mean, unless your name's Adele or Taylor Swift, I mean, everybody's struggling to sell records.
Exactly.
There's a couple of elite that are selling millions and millions of copies, but the rest of us are in between, are trying to figure out what the answer is, how to sell records now. And like,
I almost want to start like a St. Louis community group of like artists and media appreciators, like to, you know, like come together and have like this big AA of like, let's make a change and bring things back. And people have some really great ideas.
Sure. Well, that's the whole, with vinyl and with tapes and everything, all these are ideas that people are trying to spark people's interest into buying it. So, I mean, it's constant. It feels like everything's just a constant, you know, trial and error kind of thing. Everybody's like just trying to find the answer that works for them.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know, so you got some bands that want to play shows all the time, and then you got some bands that want to play one every 6 months or whatever, you know. And it's like everybody's trying to find whatever works best for them and the best way to get their music out there and be heard and everything else. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows the answer.
Right? There's not one.
So,
I don't think.
Yeah.
But, give us the answer. I need answers.
Right.
Desperate for answers.
Yeah. You, like I said, you're wearing your Pink Floyd.
I am.
What are you thinking about trying to make it to that Roger Waters show?
Nope.
No?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it. I don't like you, Roger.
Oh, yeah?
Waters.
I think it'd be pretty incredible just to be there, and, you know, like, I think it's gonna be fun, but I don't think I can afford it. Like,
God, I know.
Yeah, that's the problem with those.
Have you seen the number?
No, I have no idea, but I'm sure it's going to cost me.
It's going to be a lot.
Cost me a kidney or something. But.
That black market's growing, though.
Yeah.
Like, it might not. Like, you might wake up tomorrow and, you know, somebody hears this and you're just missing your kidney. So be careful what you say. You know, it's a real deal.
But I for me, like, it would, I mean, honestly, it would be cool to say I, you know, saw
Roger Waters,
yeah, a piece of rock and roll history there.
Yeah, that's all. Paul McCartney this year.
Yeah,
at Bush Stadium.
You just saw him, didn't you?
Yeah, Bush Stadium. It was amazing. Great show.
Dude, yeah,
the dude is like insane. 70 something years old and just rocking, man.
A friend of mine shared a video on Facebook of another friend of his who was like 5 feet from Paul in some like, looked like some biker bar or whatever. I don't know, like.
That's crazy.
All in a biker bar?
I don't know what the venue was, but it was like a low ceiling and just, you know, like a small club. And I like didn't look like, you know, it wasn't a Busch Stadium, that's awesome. For sure.
That's crazy, so, dude.
But I was thinking, like, you know, like, that's just like the coolest thing. Like, if I was Paul McCartney level, like, that would be just so much fun to just, like, show up.
Oh, yeah. Show up.
Yeah, see, absolutely. Like, gauge people's reaction. Yeah.
Like mind if I sit in?
Yeah,
or
show up in an open mic. Faint open
counts. Like, counting all the people fainting.
Show up in open mic and be like, can I play a few? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
what are you doing here,
yeah. No, I think that would be the funnest part about being that level, you know, just to... I hear stories, like, comedians doing that sometimes.
Right,
like,
yeah,
they'll
build
it, like, you know... You get some big shots. They'll show up at a small club and just
Louis C.K. did that when he was here.
Yeah, well, he that was it was announced that day, but I mean,
right.
Like,
was it?
Yeah, it was earlier in that afternoon. Like,
yeah, it was announced, and
it was announced like at 3 o'clock, and it sold out by 4.
They only sold tickets at the door. Like, you couldn't buy them online or anything that.
You could. I bought mine online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it sold out like right away. So yeah, it was all online.
I didn't know you could buy them.
Yeah. Dang it, Louis.
So yeah, but. I went to go see him at that show, and it was cool.
So, the Cellar Room?
What?
Was it the Cellar Room? Or
no, Funny Bone.
Funny Bone?
Yeah.
Louis C.K. at the Funny Bone, huh?
Yeah, about 200 people.
Yeah. Jesus. That would have been awesome.
Compared
That's
to the...
wild. The Fox, wasn't he? At the Fox last time.
No, he was at the arena, Scott Trade. So.
That's my favorite ginger. Shout out.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
But, But I was thinking about the Pink Floyd thing, though. Like, for me, I almost rather just spend my $20 and go see El Monstero do it, because it's an incredible show. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys get to see them at all, but if you're any bit of a Pink Floyd fan or any, I mean, regardless if you like the music or not, the show is still unreal. Like, it's like a Cirque du Soleil type of type of show. I mean, it's, you know, a Vegas caliber stage show inside the pageant for $20 or whatever it is, and then of course the soundtrack is the killer Pink Floyd tunes, and but they do a lot more like theatrics with it, you know, like they act it out, like, you know, they have people, characters involved in it, they have the school teacher comes out, you know, if you don't eat your meat you can, you know, and like that whole part, and like breaks the ruler over the knee and stuff like that, and like it's just it's so much fun to be a part of the show, and it's like it's almost overwhelming at times, like just so much like sensory overload with lights and smoke and all this stuff, and it's just it's pretty awesome. So
yeah, we hear and see a little bit that they do it really well.
Yeah,
I've only seen just a snippet of what they do live, but I would
highly like encourage them. There's a reason they sell out like 8 shows in a row at the Bridge, and so it's really a great time. But yeah, so
we'll have to go check them out, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll go together.
Yeah, get a band date. Go out there.
Yeah.
Band date.
Yeah.
Band date. Mandate. Coffee mate.
Right. So what's on the way for Dear Genre?
On the horizon. We haven't really talked about it that much, but I know that as of last week, we're gonna be throwing in some songs from Flower Puns.
Yeah.
So you can expect that in the coming months. We haven't even played a song yet. I guess we've played Move.
Yeah.
But that's the only song from Flower Puns that we're. So we're kind of, it's fun now, because now we're at square one again and trying to recreate what, you know, most of what's on the record, and trying to come up with how we're gonna do it, what it's gonna sound like.
Are you doing that with like loop stuff at all, or how are you pulling some of that off? Because
we tried the loops, backing tracks, stuff like that, and I mean it's one of those things where I guess it all depends on where you play. Like if you play at a place that has all that set up for you. Like we're wedges. I'm able to hear those as a drummer, which is pretty important. They work, but otherwise, they don't. We played a couple places where I couldn't. You know, we actually couldn't hear the backing tracks or something like that, and then it's kind of a mess after that.
Which
is
a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually just axed the backing tracks. We were only doing it with one song, anyways.
Right.
We were doing it with Move.
Yeah. And we actually, I mean, we liked playing it better without it.
Mm.
The few times we've done it. So I don't, with the new ones, I don't know. We've don't.
We won't touch backtracks.
Yeah,
we won't touch them. At the beginning, I was layering them all out, and then you know we had our first practice with the flower puns material last week, and 3 minutes into the practice, we decided we didn't need them.
Yeah.
So it would just be taking away from that spontaneity. So why would you know?
Yeah.
It would just be.
Well, like in Move, you play. Keyboard and guitar?
Yeah, that's right. So I tend to take over a lot of those responsibilities with my voice, like those keyboards, and I've always been kind of like a ooh-ah type guy, you know, like using a voice as an instrument type thing to compensate for my voice. But then it's kind of just stuck, so I'll kind of just hum some parts or, you know, so it's... Again, it's a totally different feel than it, yeah. you know, yeah. live than it is in the studio. So we're really excited to be throwing those out to people for the first time and
right.
to gauge some reaction. And
yeah.
I know I can speak for myself and Ray as well. I'm so sick of those old songs.
Yeah.
you know, I've been playing them since I was a little girl. So I'm like so excited to get new material in here with a new guy and.
Yeah.
And
you guys talking another record anytime soon, or what you got? You guys been writing?
We kind of messed around on something, so that's very early sure. stages on that one. But
right,
I mean,
yeah, obviously it was only April that the Flower Puns came out, but
yeah,
I don't know if how much. Writing, or if you were waiting to find another pitcher to be inspired by, or
yeah, maybe yeah. that's what it takes, you know.
Right.
If that's what it takes, I'm willing to wait. These pictures are
sure.
really good. We
yeah.
have some
cheeseburger, man.
Some
I'm
cheeseburgers.
Kind of, partial to those potatoes.
Yeah, those potatoes are looking pretty good, man. Yeah.
I don't see any knees though, so
right.
yeah. You know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm messing with some stuff. I've been. I've been having quite a block, you know, and I've learned quite quickly that when I try to force stuff, I might as well not write it.
Right.
So I've got some skeletons, and a few of them I've showed Ray, and I don't think many of them will see the light of day.
Sure.
So actually, I'm going back to the past and releasing a few songs that. Never got to see the light of day. You know, that Lucifer.
Yeah.
We have a song called Lucifer, and that was one of the first songs I ever recorded for Dear Genre. It was supposed to be released in 2010, but just never had the opportunity to come out. So I released it at the beginning of this year, and we've been playing that live. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to play.
It's a bitchin' one to play.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I guess we're really gonna play it by ear and. You know, try to do something organic.
Yeah.
I've bought a bunch of lights now, so
yeah. I think the live show thing is something I think that we're just really focusing on more than
sure.
anything right now. Trying
yeah.
to get like a really cool experience live. That's, I mean, just different enough so people will remember it, not just because it sounds good and. It's, because of the quality of the songs, which they're very high quality songs, but I mean also just to keep people entertained because you know
we all know that songs are enough. Yeah.
yeah, after 10 to 15 seconds, people are going to start looking at their phones because that's just what you do.
Yeah. But yeah, the lights and everything else, like adding production to your show,
right.
like it definitely
right.
takes it to the next level and making it more of a real show
yeah.
than just up playing songs. So.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the. What's the
El Mancera?
El Mancera.
Yeah, for sure.
You said they had a killer thing going on, and
yeah,
and I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
if you can do it
yeah.
right, yeah.
yeah,
taking a few trips out to Guitar Center,
yeah,
and so we'll see what we cook up.
Sure.
We're gonna be playing with shadows and color.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I got a friend. Steven goes by Hands and Feet. He's kind of a one man, you know, does loop,
yep.
plays keys and
I know of him.
Yeah, but he does you know, he does like all live looping, and he'll do it, you know, keys and guitar, and he's got a melodica, and you know, and does like vocal stuff and all kinds of different things, and puts it all together, makes a fun mm-hmm. track. And but yeah, he has blanking our name now. I mean, she comes out to his shows and like uses a projector. She like puts all this visual art together and puts a projector over him and like creates all this imagery for the show and stuff. So it's really unique, like, you know, to offer a visual and the audio and stuff. So like,
oh yeah, multifaceted.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. So yeah, she makes all kinds of cool videos to. So you get a nice live experience, but
sure.
So I don't know if that's an idea, but there's
yeah, man. I was just gonna say, give me your number. Yeah, man. Right. So, we're totally interested in that type of thing.
But I think find out whatever works for you guys. But yeah, it's just fun to, you know, make that live show the best you can.
So. Yeah, I think. I mean, one thing I've noticed about our live shows too is that we have a lot of energy in them, mm-hmm. like a lot of energy in them. So, I mean that. Obviously translates well with people that are watching you perform. It's, I mean, obviously depends on the genre you're playing or the music you're playing. Like, you know, singer songwriter usually isn't going to be that animated, but I think with our stuff, it really helps and it gets people into it.
Definitely.
And,
well, they can follow on Facebook and. And Twitter and all those.
Facebook, Instagram. I'm really shitty at Twitter, so go follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Oprah quotes. I'm proud of our Instagram, so follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook.
It's a good way to keep up and with show announcements and stuff. You get.
Yeah, you know it.
So
yeah. Hopefully, we get something pretty soon, show wise.
Yeah.
They're out there.
DearGenre.com. And go ahead over there and give you a link to all the music as well.
That's right.
But yeah, we can drop some tunes in here for everybody. Talked about Move quite a bit, I think, so it'll probably be a good one to plug if you guys want to do that. And, any other songs you'd like to play for them?
Yes. Let's play Lucifer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because. It's called Lucifer.
Sure.
Yeah. You can't print that enough.
Right. Well, all right. Yeah, stick around for those songs and keep an eye out for shows. Many more big things coming for Dear Genre coming soon.
Yep.
So, yeah, thanks so much, guys, for taking the time out to hang out.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to. I'm thankful that it worked out. You know, it's like just nice meeting people that are doing cool stuff in my hometown. So I'm always excited about meeting more people doing it. So yeah,
pleasure's ours, man. Thank you so
this
much.
Has been great. So and thank you, Denny's, for all your wonderful service.
Yeah, so, thanks for the black coffee.
Excellent chocolate shake.
Yeah,
it was, wasn't it?
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Time is near, and the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.